This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my friend and colleague Chris Riegel. Eye on manufacturing of recovery all around the world, across the United States, and Chris's business is worldwide, so I depend upon his metrics as we reinvent ourselves. And in reinventing ourselves, there are puzzles. Chris, a very good evening to you. This is the Scala Report. Scala is a global technology firm that transforms the retail space with digital signage. And that means it pays a lot of attention to where those digital signs are. And many of them are in malls. You bring to my attention Carl Icahn, an extremely famous investor, a man who has interests in all directions. And recently there's news that Carl Icahn is not positive about malls. What malls, Chris? And what does this mean for America as it recovers? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Mr. Icahn is making some very big wagers against shopping mall debt. In those collateralized debt obligations of shopping malls, Mr. Icahn stands to potentially make hundreds and hundreds of million dollars by betting on the failure of malls in the consolidation wave of the retail environment that has been triggered first by the pandemic of Amazon and second by the pandemic of COVID.
And the malls are everywhere. They're small ones, they're large ones. Are we looking at the ones that are cities? Like, the one I'm familiar with, because I lived in Westchester County for many years, was called the Westchester, and it was like a space colony. You would enter in the ground floor where the parking lot was. It went up four or five stories, and then you would get into an elevator, and suddenly you'd be in the middle of this paradise of utopian music and people floating around and shopping. That's one kind of mall. That's not commonplace. Is that the mall Mr. Icahn thinks will not return?
What I believe that you're seeing is that Mr. Icahn is betting to say whether the very large metro mall or the more rural, more suburban malls, that every piece of property in that category is facing a headwind. The projections that you're seeing from many banks now are saying that between 40 and 50% of all malls in the U.S. will be in default on their mortgage obligations. So the business model as a whole is changing. The consumer, especially younger consumers, are not spending time in malls as their parents or grandparents or uncles and aunts did. So you have a consumer change that's triggered in many cases by Amazon and home delivery. Also a consumer that's changing more on experiential versus shopping from an entertainment perspective. So there's a cyclical headwind there. And Mr. Icahn is betting that there is a lot of money to be made by betting on that fail.
It could be that we're in a mall recession, which would be logical business cycle. Did they overbuild, Chris? Is that what happened before the pandemic and now they have to adjust?
On a per square foot basis, the U.S. has 2.5 to 3 times more shopping per square foot than any other country on the face of the planet. So there's a natural adjustment there. But I would also say the trend in consumer taste and how consumers are changing with home delivery of everything from a convenience perspective is something that mall developers never took into account in the last 20 years.
Also changing is our perceptions as we come back outside, as the lockdown ends, as the country reawakens shopping and consumer concerns. Also reawakening is green. Now, I read in The Economist that the green representation can be a mixed picture. Many firms that present themselves, hedge funds or investment vehicles, ETFs, as green, also include fossil fuel companies in their portfolios. Okay, that's the way you do business. It's all about energy. However, I want to know whether green, the fashion for green, is part of the conversation, Chris, in your customers, your clients, your business to business. So you're seeing people measuring how they present themselves to their customers. Do you hear green talk? Do you hear people inquiring about cutting their energy load or conveying that to their public?
Yeah, traditionally, I look at it two ways. Customers are always looking to try to reduce energy consumption, principally from a cost perspective. But you're seeing more and more regulation as well as direct focus on companies saying, how do I reduce heavy metals in the environment? How do I reduce consumption of electricity or other as part of a posturing and their ability to show their participation in the green movement? So more of a virtue signaling point from a lot of business as well.
And yet there is demand for showing some reduction, some fashion of reduction. The place that I think of is Elon Musk pointing to the mining, the Bitcoin mining factories in China. And that reminds me there are large server farms, I think, in the solar system that we depend upon for our social platforms. Do you hear customers, your customers or any customers, talking about their server farms that they depend upon and what the energy load is?
Traditionally, when you're buying what you'd call cloud services, whether that's from a Google or an Amazon, the customers are not asking the questions about energy consumption in those environments. They're thinking about lowering costs and lowering infrastructure within their environments. So it's not typically a key point as it goes to these very, very large Bitcoin mining operations where you're seeing traditional manufacturing environments around the world, maybe plants that used to be steel plants or aluminum plants that have huge electric supply coming to them being converted to Bitcoin mining operations. The challenge to the economies in those areas is that an aluminum plant or a steel plant creates jobs, create products. Bitcoin simply can be run by a skeleton staff, so the economic output to that entity is much, much lower and does not have the same job profile that you would in a traditional manufacturing environment.
The rental car lots, I'm told, are empty. You've commented on that over these weeks, and I just had a conversation about Arizona, the empty rental car, because they sold down their inventory planning on a pandemic that would last much longer than this one has so far. Will we see, do you anticipate those lots will fill back up with electric vehicles? Is this a trend that you can imagine America embracing? And is there opportunity there for your work or for other works to integrate electric vehicles with new forms of signage or new forms of communication inside the vehicle?
So you saw, and we spoke before about the Ford patents towards in-car signage and taking billboards into the vehicles themselves. I think you'll see more electric cars in those rental fleets if customers are willing to pay a premium for them and if the demand warrants. The Avises, the Nationals, the Enterprises of the world are very savvy operationally in giving that consumer what they want. But if the fleet is still principally gasoline, there's a reason why, and it's probably consumer driven.
Now, the recovery. You travel widely, and your headquarters in Dayton, Ohio, you can see a roadway, I-75. You've educated me about I-75. In the worst of the pandemic, each week I would call Chris, and I would ask him what the traffic is in I-75. And, Chris, can I remember correctly saying it was sparse in the tough times of the spring of 20? Sparse.
Very certainly, very light in the early parts of the pandemic. Now I-75 is being a major thoroughfare for manufacturing from Detroit through the Midwest to Miami, packed with trucks and very, very busy.
And therein lies the puzzle about green. How does green translate itself into our transportation system? Without the transportation system, We're going to have permanent supply chains. I think you've mentioned to me that the supply chain problem is not just semiconductors. Where else have you seen it?
So we're seeing that supply chain disruption in everything from base steels, carbon materials, copper, other. So it's impacting and distorting markets for shortages all around the world, both in legitimate lack of supply, as well as many sectors of the world and many manufacturers taking pricing advantage and raising prices. So the inflationary spin that's going into the supply chain disruption is going to most definitely impact the consumer's wallet.
Green is long term. Short term is recovery. And immediate term is filling that inventory. Do you have a sense of the timeline before the transportation system, the container ships we talked about last week, the I-75 large shipments, the trailers out there? Do you have a date that you've heard that we're going to have some balance again, because we're out of whack right now?
Within domestic, it's likely September for product coming from Asia Pacific through. It will be into 2022 before the backlog clears and things return to normal.
2022 and this is for the stuff coming from the Pacific. We don't, across the Pacific, we don't see anything until first quarter 22, second quarter 22?
likely mid first quarter of 22. The backlogs, while they've drawn down a bit, are getting ready to surge for Christmas season of material coming in from Asia to the U.S. So the backlogs will accelerate and get worse before they get better.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com. This is the Scala Report. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.